and restaurant booth instead with Boner Boss and Friends.
Today I'm going to try to be very measured in my speech and try and speak calmly, because I noticed over the last few episodes that I get really tense and tight and my voice is getting weird on me now that I'm getting old and have reflux. So we'll see if I can mellow out today. It's National Taco Day, Mike. How did you celebrate?
I don't think that's true.
It is what do you mean you don't think that's true?
Well, no, I get a lot of people on my social media platforms always participating in these fake holidays, and I saw nothing of National Taco Day today.
Oh my god, it was every chain had a thing going on, from Chewy's to Taco Fresh or whatever. They I think even Taco Bell had like giant boxes of tacos that they were offering for International Taco Day. It's a global phenomenon. October 4th, today was the day.
I could have walked across the street and got some fancy tacos.
Do you want me to wait? Do you want to go get some tacos?
It's too late, man. It's too late.
Well, it may not be too late everywhere, because finally, Taco Bell is taking over Australia. They tried and failed and tried and failed several times. But apparently they finally have one restaurant that's doing well. And they're like, you know what we should do is open 50 more. 50 more restaurants in a whole continent that failed us. So how much does this increase your urgency to visit Australia?
Man, there's a lot of things that make me want to visit Australia, except that I would never do it because it's so far away. And I don't know that much about the landscape there, but from what I'm told, it's, you know, basically like one city and then the rest is just scary monster insects and animals in countryside. And it doesn't sound like that's a place I want to travel 18 hours to get to.
No, it's like when you watch a movie or something, it seems so cool because everyone's got windblown hair and they're wearing flip-flops and they're just surfing 24 hours a day. But if you walk 30 steps in any direction, it's just all the world's deadliest everything. And if you hop in the water, do you know they have something called a requiem shark?
I've never heard of that one.
It's called a fucking requiem shark in real life because it's just about to funeral you. It's going to and it's like the most bitey killing shark in the world. Requiem. Fuck that place.
I'd like to add to that. Speaking of the Taco Bell in Australia, There was a news article someone showed us like a few months ago now. Mm-hmm. And it mentioned how Taco Bell wasn't in Australia because of rivals like Taco Bill's. And there's a couple other ones. And I looked them all up on the internet. And they all seem to have their like promotional videos on YouTube. like kind of like their franchising videos. Yeah. And they're really interesting because they're all just owned by Americans who wanted to start a Chipotle, but in Australia.
And they got there and they're like, hey, none of you guys have any Mexican restaurants.
Yeah. That's pretty much like all of their whole origins were just like, hey, there's no Mexican restaurants in Australia.
That's a sign, guy. Yeah. Mad Mex is the only one I heard of, but Jesus. Yeah, it's like, if it's not here, it's not going to be here.
Yeah.
I don't know. So this week, I think this is your fault. You sent me a link to a Taco Bell watch that had the very sketchy sombrero boy on it. Mm. And it looked really old. It's definitely phony. It's not as old as it looks. But that got me looking at clocks and watches, and I bought them all. I bought just everything. I bought a really odd clock that you pointed out that had like these wedges on it. And there's an old watch called a radio room watch that looks like that, where the wedges mean hours that you're supposed to be doing something. And the people of Reddit demystified it for me, and they said that those colorful wedges are when you're supposed to be preparing food. So, and there's colorful stickers that go along with this. So that's going to be my mission. That's going to be the thrust of my life from now on. I'm going to code my life according to my new $9 Taco Bell clock with colorful stickers. Everything I have to do has to fall into one of these wedges.
And if I thought you meant you were going to go to Taco Bell to just make sure they are prepping food at those times.
Well, I think the reason the clock is for sale is because it doesn't cover breakfast. It doesn't have a wedge for breakfast prep. So they just, I don't know what happened. They probably just came into work one day and had no idea what to do. And they just waited until noon when the first wedge shows up. And
now they're selling all the clocks on eBay.
Now that you can get these clocks at wholesale prices because they don't cover it. They don't cover a successful breakfast.
I'm still on the hunt. Listener Doan actually texted me, and I didn't text him back because I was on the go. But he was saying like how he was also looking for that that commercial from Beyond Yacht Rock with the, what was it? Refresh us. What was the commercial?
It is a cover. Well, there's different ones. There's all different covers. Yeah. But the one that the Yacht Rock guy was looking for was a cover of the Orleans song, I think Dance With Me.
Yeah, Dance
With Me. Sour Cream. Yeah.
And so I was very bored today because I have a 4-day weekend coming up. So I've just been slacking off. So I was like, I'm going to look for that. And I'm going to look for some other stuff we can do a commentary on. Because that's the best episode of Border Boss. So at least in the mic era, it's the best episode. So
right.
Now that's all I want to do is do commentaries over weird Taco Bell videos. But I didn't find any of those, but I did find this commercial, and Scott didn't remember it either. It has kind of like a NASCAR theme to it, and the whole commercial's theme is about speed, and it's basically, the title I think is 59 seconds or less, and supposedly at one point, I believe it was the early, it was 1996 was the commercial's from, and supposedly somewhere, Taco Bell had a promotion where you would get your food in 59 seconds or less, or it was free. And as soon as I sent it to Scott, he said, you know, this had to end in 58 seconds because there is no way this could be a viable promotion. And I don't remember this. I Googled it on the internet. There's no other traces of this promotion on the internet. So I think maybe this was a thing that only lasted about a week before they realized how stupid it was. So I just wanted to reach out to the listeners and see if anybody else remembers this promotion because... I don't know. I just don't see how this could have been successful for more than a week.
No, it was 59 seconds or it's free, which is ridiculous. Do you know when it became like outlawed to do the 30 minutes or less pizza thing? Because that like was formally banned or something like that.
Because
like children were just being run down the streets by rogue pizza men or whatever.
And
you know, I'm sure pizza places were just like, why are we giving our, who cares? Why are you giving a pizza away for free? Fuck you. And, this is the same thing. 59 seconds. I've never, never, ever been handed even my soda cup in 59 seconds that I talk about. Yeah. So they just had to have been pouring free food over that counter all day long if that commercial ever hit the air. I would almost wonder if that was just an idea that somebody pitched and Tango was like, fuck you too. We're not giving shit away for free.
Yeah, even if there was some stipulation, maybe there was some fine print on that commercial that said only if you order tacos or something,
right.
I still don't think it would be possible.
If you order exactly one taco with no mods, it'll be given to you in 59 seconds or it's free. So, by the way, I had the, did you have the triple double?
I did.
Was yours all like screwed up and lopsided and only had meat on one side of it?
Yeah, man. I'm glad you reminded me because I completely forgot we didn't talk about this yet. But yeah, I had it. And did you get the whole $5 box?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. $5.
You're forced into it. Like, what else are you going to do? It's literally cheaper than a normal crunch wrap.
Right.
It's so you have to get this giant thing. And they, I ordered it and they were like, do you want a Chipotle? And I was like, yeah, whatever. And it was, I think I said to you, it doesn't seem like something they should be selling. It seems like when we watch the Taco Bell the YouTube video, when he's like, you got the Dave special. It seems like something that's called the Dave special. Like, this seems like something you make on a very slow day at Taco Bell.
I'm going to see how many layers of beef I can fit into the grill.
Yeah, dude, this is like a shareable item. Like, you should cut this in half and share it with somebody.
Yeah.
And usually, I mean, this is the most value, I think, possible at Taco Bell. But at the same time, man, I felt like a real piece of shit eating this by myself and then two tacos. Because what am I going to do? Just leave them there?
Yeah.
This is seriously like a challenge food almost.
It was a thick meal. And you can't not do it because it's literally cheaper than buying just the soda and the Crunchwrap.
Yeah.
So you're forced into this and it's so like, you know, even for a big boy, it feels like a lot of food, but I've yet to hear of anyone who got it. I mean, this isn't some falling down stuff. I'm not saying it has to look like the sign, but I mean, it actually looks like they made it and then picked it up by one end and shook it so that all the beef went down to one side. So you get one whole side that's just like lettuce and cheese and one whole side. It's like a big scrotum or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, mine was pretty bad too, but it's, I'm not going to fault them for it. This seems like something that shouldn't be scientifically done in the first place, so I don't care if it's lopsided.
That's true. Maybe they're working with forces of nature that aren't made to actually happen back there. So it's,
I have a new theory that now Taco Bell's doing all these giant items like this is because maybe they're trying to put some kind of addictive chemical in the beef, like some kind of nicotine of Taco Bell beef to get people addicted. And so they just want to get as much of it as possible inside of your system. And that's why they're doing these crazy deals where it is, you know, the cheapest thing on the menu. But
the cheapest thing on the menu is going to be literally a bucket of beef.
Yeah, it's like for three and a half. It's like a 3.5 pound burrito, and you're getting it for $5 plus two tacos. Right.
Some of the secret items that are floating around right now kind of go the other way, though. There's something called the chicken tortado. That's a stupid word. So the chicken tortado, and not only is, you know, I think it's just the fried pieces again. I don't know when those chicken nuggets are in stock and when they're not. They just kind of come and go. And to me, that seems like a piece of equipment.
Yeah, I'll bring it up after you're done. I just got to remind myself to have something to bring up. But go on.
But the odd thing about it is that if you look at the sign that they have, it comes in mango habanero or avocado ranch. those are like Wendy's flavors. Like, that's not really Taco Bell's role to give me avocado ranch anything or mango habanero or anything. That's like, you know, that's a different chain.
What I was going to say is that reminded me when you said the chicken nuggets thing. I think the Cantina Taco Bell's may have a slightly different menu than the regular Taco Bell's because it reminded me that there's a shareable section and it has the nuggets on it and it has these things that we got the other night because we were drunk and we're coming home and we're like, oh, let's just get the Taco Bell. And they had on the menu, they're called quesadilla nachos. Do they have those at your Taco Bell?
Quesadilla nachos? No. Are they big? Because they used to make something called the nacho and it was a giant triangle.
No, it's a scam, man. It's like $4 and it's basically a regular size quesadilla, maybe two regular size quesadillas cut into like a triangular nacho shape. And they give you some shitty sour cream and they're supposed to give you guacamole, but they gave me some shitty, like, I don't even know where it comes from, but some real shitty Taco Bell branded salsa that was gross.
Yeah,
and yeah, it's just like a cut up quesadilla, and I was just like, "This is a fucking scam," man. And
it I made love me, that.
Yeah, it made me think this must be this special Cantina menu where you're supposed to like hang out, drink beers with your bros, and get the nachos and the chicken nuggets and shit like. Oh, and they had mini burrito dippers.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I don't know what that is either.
The dipper thing that they do, they'll do it every once in a while. They'll roll out like whatever the one where you got two things. There was one where you got like two fingers or whatever, and they came with, you know, exclusive dips or whatever, but it's just the same shit. They just figure out different ways to take the gun that's in the back.
Yeah.
For the red sauce, the sour cream, and they put it in a cup like, wow, now you can dip this item in that and it's a dipper. But no, they don't have anything like that around here. I am waiting for that big triangle to come back. They called it like the ultimate nacho or the super nacho, and it wasn't. It was just like a quesadilla, but the size of your head in a triangle.
I think I missed that. I would definitely get that too.
So, Mike, the main thrust of today's episode, I don't want to use the word stereotypes because I think that implies like debatability. You know what I mean? It's like a stereotype that has like a negative connotation, like someone could fight back against being stereotyped. I want to call it phenotypes because this is science. These people always live up to these roles, and you know it when you see them. There's no hiding from the way they are and the way that they act. There are, you know, lanes that people fall into when it comes to Taco Bell, and that's a phenotype, and I don't think they can escape it. And we talked about it, but we didn't do any organization for this. So I don't know, you know, how you wanted to approach it. I wrote down a few. Yeah. I'm sure you have a few.
I mainly have that one big thing, but I definitely feel this all together. This came up because, as Scott had one example, and I was thinking about talking about something else that seem to work into a Taco Bell stereotype that, mm-hmm. or a phenotype that people have. So we came up with this idea, basically.
I was going to start with, I have a bunch of, you know, like softball ones, like these aren't so bad. And then there's, you know, then there's, they'll get to the end, and the end, you know, the end are the ones that we talk about all the time. The people that, that should probably get the nail gun. They just need to go. But, you know, I would say like the softest one is, what's your sauce game, Mike? What do you do when you, if you decide to open the packet, do you pour it on every bite? Do you smush a bunch of sauce onto your tray and dip into it? Do you make a cup of like six different sauces and talk to people about what you're doing while you're eating it? Or do you open the whole fucking thing and put sauce inside and then rewrap it? What do you do?
I mean, majority of the time I get a crunch wrap and I find those easily dippable. Like, you do have to empty out at least three packets of sauce on a flat surface to get any dipping friction going. But that's what I prefer to do. If it's a taco, I'll squirt it on. But I will never do that whole unwrap and put
that's
stuff on.
I think it's psychotic. It's a psychotic move.
That is like you're getting a cheap thing and you know about it. And then you want to see the guts of it. That's just, who wants to do that? No one wants to see the guts of some cheap thing they just bought. Right.
I mean, and the way that they wrap it, they use heat and steam and everything to make it pliable, and then it's stuck. Yeah. So, you know, if you unwrap your burrito, chances are you're gonna wreck it. But the sauce boss, and I'm a little guilty of this, but the sauce boss has a six packet blend, you know, and they'll order other things and try and remake the volcano sauce, and they'll tell people about it. They'll sit at the table and they'll talk about it like this scientific method of how they put their sauces together, and how, like, it's not just something they started when they were 17. Like, this was a real, a fruitful endeavor that they've arrived at, and that you really have to do this. And they speak with authority. Have you ever sat with the sauce boss when they're mixing up a special blend of seven sauces?
No, I have known no one in my life to actually mix Taco Bell sauces. That sounds gross.
No, the sauce boss will tell you that one is for heat, one's for flavor. You know, you have to get the layers in there of interactivity for your tongue. Otherwise, why are you bothering to eat?
Yeah, that sounds real bad, man.
Yeah. Another phenotype I thought of earlier, and I fell into it just not 5 minutes ago, is the gordita guts truthers, or people who just live to complain about, you know, when they're handed the rush hour tortilla that's full of like misplaced rat chunks and just a biological looking shot of cheese, and the whole thing is just really half-assed, and the food's all to one side, and there's no coverage. They have a baby on the spot. They're so excited. Like, they lose their minds and they run home to post it on Reddit. This is the entire Taco Bell Reddit. One third of it, at least, if not two thirds, is people posting when their burrito is mismade. They can't wait to tell you. Like, and they'll post it with sad emojis and stuff like that. Like, oh, you know, I left the house and look what happened to me.
Yeah, on the same side of the coin of that, and I mean, it's not just Taco Bell, but you're not one of those people that, I mean, outside of like diet reasons, you don't ask them to hold the lettuce because for some reason you don't like lettuce.
No.
Yeah. I don't understand those. And then and that's why it leads to them complaining about not getting something made right. And it's like, dude, they don't make a lot of money. Yeah. And if you're this picky where you're ordering slop food and mm-hmm. you're still like, I can't have that one certain type of slop. It's just gross to me. I don't know. My sister, one time when I was home not too long ago, we went to McDonald's because I was just going to buy everybody a bunch of burgers and shit. Mm-hmm. My sister was all like, oh, I don't like this. And I'm like, listen, these are a dollar. You're not making any fucking special orders. I'm going to get you this, and that's that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I strained her out right there. She doesn't do it anymore. But it's just like, I don't know, man. I mean, I find it a pet peeve if you're even at a normal restaurant and do it, but I understand it there. But yeah, when you're doing it at fast food places, who are you?
No, man. One of my friends growing up was one of those guys who never eats vegetables. And like, you know how you have friends that take it too far, a joke? Like, they're not good at jokes, but they try and they dig in. And I think that started as a joke. And then he just started living that as his truth. I don't eat vegetables. So if a Taco came to him and it had lettuce on it, he would like smash it and walk out of the restaurant. Like in a rage and in a huff. He did it multiple times. This is not a joke. He would open it up, and if he saw that there was like a shred of tomato or a poke of green hanging out there, he would like crush it in his hand and fling it and like walk out of the restaurant with actual, you know, hate and anger in his heart. And there's a subset of this that I think is now defunct. It doesn't matter anymore. Like none of this stuff matters anymore because they tell you to do whatever you want with the app. They've given you the green light. So you can stack it. You can do whatever the hell you want. But the vegetarians, the vegetarians who dare to make special orders back then, and then get uppity and weird about it. You know, they'll try and make something really deluxe and vegetarian for themselves. You can't just get the 7-layer burrito and shut the fuck up. Like, because that's got everything in it. Just, you know, take the things out you don't want. But, you know, if you stand at that register and talk to the person at the register and make all these preposterous modifications and you try and make your food more exciting, you're going to get meat. Like, you have something to lose. I don't have anything to lose. If they hand me something that's messed up, it's still food to me. You're going to get meat and possibly like shit and spit, but you're also going to get meat in your food. Like, all bets are off with Taco Bell now. They've given you the green, they've given you the blessing to modify and enhance. And that's, I think that's another phenotype. And I don't know if this really exists or if it's just an internet thing. But there's like lawnmower men out there that, like, really get into the app and really want to put together, you know, either they use the app or they just have like brass balls and walk up to the register and they'll say, you know, I want you to make like an XXL grilled stuff, Cap'n Crunch ball, beefalopa, and, you know, dip it into the freeze and then hand it to me. Of course, they have to go that and post that in the internet with a big long story. Usually like a crazy story comes with those. I don't care that you do that, but it's like, I don't know about having pride in it. Like, there's no challenge to it anymore. That you combined the 7 things that they have in a different way using a computer. Cool. Like, it's like you're playing Impossible Machine, but in real life or something like that.
Yeah, I think it was one of those things where after the first time one person did it, it should have just ended.
Yeah.
I remember years and years ago, and they're just being, well, not years ago, maybe 4 years ago. And now I think they're implemented in most McDonald's now, but they had the first computer screen McDonald's in New York.
Mm-hmm.
The one, you know, where the computer's in there and you order from it and they make it at the register or whatever. And I think I saw like a YouTube video of one of the first people in it. And of course, that's what he did. He made like a $55 burger. And I was like, man, that's so fucking cool. And then that feeling went away, and I don't want to see or do that. Although I will say, speaking of McDonald's, the one cool thing they have on theirs is that you can use McGriddle bun for anything, and that is pretty sweet. You can have like a chicken sandwich McGriddle.
Yeah, I never thought of that.
Yeah,
I kind of want to stop recording.
So I understand the appeal to wanting to do it with Taco Bell, because it's like you think of Taco Bell like that, where, man, I could. Can make a Mexican pizza crunch wrap, which I think is a thing they sell overseas or something now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can understand the appeal, but I don't need to hear about it. Just do it on your own.
Yeah, just try it. Like, if, you know, if they ever wanted to really build that up, they could sort of make it a game. Like, every once in a while, a bonus item will show up, a little gem glowing next to it, and you can like add
M&M's or something.
Yeah, you just add M&M's to your burrito, but only for the next 30 seconds. Now, this is one I don't know. I also don't know if this exists. I don't think they actually exist. You tell me. This is mostly like, you know, if you see commercials or if you look on, you know, Tumblr or in animated GIFs, there's, you know, people who are laid back and play, but they play like guitars shaped like tacos, or they text on a phone shaped like a sauce packet. And they, of course, they skateboard and they have really cool hair if they existed, but I don't think they exist. So does like the, you know, the pizza skateboard dragon flying V guitar guy, is that a real thing, or is that completely made up by the internet?
It's not made up, but I think it's at this point it's a little dated, and I also think the internet makes it seem a lot more extreme than it is.
Yeah.
There's things that, like, elements from that huge stereotype exist in everything. Like, if you see the drippy drip font, that's that kind of thing. But you might not see the drippy drip font with also a slice of pizza and a skateboard and a taco on the same shirt. But those all exist. All that iconography is huge. And I do think it's the same type of person. I also don't think they're cool either. That's the other misconception, that people like that are cool.
Yeah, there was a guy I used to follow on something. I don't know if it was Tumblr or whatever, but he was really great at that visual.
Yeah.
At like,
there's a lot of people like that. Yeah.
The VHS thing and the skateboard thing and, you know, the synth wave thing. He was excellent at it, but I don't think he left his house. I don't think he had any friends. Yeah. I think he was.
Yeah, man. It's a weird thing.
He was an actual shut-in who was exceptional at that kind of visual. And now you've confirmed something else for me because I was, you know, I don't live in this kind of world, but one of the outstanding and well trodden phenotypes is the rowdy Uber viscera, the drunks that spill out of an Uber and pour into Taco Bell and just order they run the menu. This is like, so you said that you were drunk and you went into this place and you guys ordered oddball items. So you confirmed it. This exists. Yeah. This is a real thing.
Yeah, but to be fair, I do that with most food when I'm drunk. But Taco Bell is a bonus, though. I will say when I have that opportunity, Taco Bell's a pretty sweet place to go when you're drunk.
A lot of people make a big deal out of it, though. They make it like, when I want to get drunk, go to Taco Bell. I mean, how hard can you be partying if you can even remember that? Like, you should basically not even be aware that you've ever been to Taco Bell if you're partying hard enough. Like, it's like your Jekyll and Hyde thing. I get so ruined and drunk and trash, and I run the menu. I buy $54 at least worth of tacos, and I have no memory of it. I just wake up really full and really sick. I don't know, but like, I don't live close enough. You know, we don't Ubers and taxis and things aren't that easy up here. So if I wanted to get trashed and get a taco, supposedly you can get it delivered now, though. Again.
Yes.
I guess there's some Grubhub things and they're trying to do their own delivery and stuff like that. So maybe I'll be able to have a drone bring me.
They're pushing it real hard here.
But
I mean, for the last few months, it was Wendy's and now they're pushing Taco Bell.
Mm-hmm. Now we're getting into the Mount Olympus of the stereotypes for me. But we're not quite at the top yet, because this is one that I've only since Podcast Town, which is a group on Facebook that we all belong to, which people can join. I didn't realize that there was people that rode this hard for Del Taco and that they choose it over Taco Bell. And I've had Del Taco and you've had it too, right? Or you haven't had it yet?
No, I've had it.
It's not good.
No.
Because it tastes like the dry spices out of your dead grandma's spice rack. Dumped onto like uncooked canned beans and stuff like that.
I think it's just one of those regional things, honestly, where you're just like, that's what I grew up eating. So this is what I like, because fucking Mighty Taco was played up to me for years. And then I finally had it. And that's probably the worst fast food taco I've ever had.
Mighty Taco was really bad. Mighty Taco, though, when I went to college in Buffalo, was making a barbecue burrito that was the size of your arm. And very delicious, because it just tastes like barbecue sauce, and who doesn't like barbecue sauce? And I think it came on some sort of exotic wrap that they shouldn't have had access to, like this tomato.
Yeah,
you know, that's not even a tortilla. I don't think that's like a deli wrap. Like, they were just buying those green and red deli wraps pretending it was Mexican food. So I was basically just buying a sub, like a barbecue sub from Mighty Taco. And there's actually out there now, there's another. I'm forgetting what it's called, but there's like another taco place that nobody goes to for the tacos. You go there because they sell a giant cookie.
Oh my god!
Like the mall, like the mall cookies that they used to sell. Yeah.
Like, so it's like Del Taco. People go in there for burgers.
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. There's really no reason. Nobody goes to a taco place other than Taco Bell for the actual taco. I had the cookie there, though, and it was fantastic. the best. I think that this is the nicest and best of all. Taco Bell phenotypes and stereotypes is the Blessed Virgin. Do you know who the Blessed Virgin is?
The person who's never ate it before. The
person who's never eaten it before, but is open to it. Like, the person who's never eaten it before, but once they eat it, you know, because there's all these videos that are like real Mexicans try Taco Bell for the first time, or you know, like tweens try Taco Bell, and the ones who bite into a Doritos Locos Taco and they're like, oh, this is really good. Those people are blessed.
Yeah.
Those people are like, they're open to the experience. They're doing a great job in life. I hope all the greatest things happen to them. But that's kind of the nude truth of Taco Bell, is that it's kind of delicious.
Even my girlfriend, she was kind of, you know, before me, she's like, I haven't had Taco Bell in like 20 years.
Yeah.
And now she's pretty into it.
Yeah. Was she opposed to it before she had it?
Yeah, because it's pretty, you know, it's pretty sloppy food. She doesn't really eat fast food, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Those people, I'm calling them the taste duds. Taste duds. Like, there's a whole wedge of people out there. Well, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're up to in life, but they insist that Taco Bell tastes bad. They insist that it's disgusting as a root principle. Like, that nothing in that building is any good, and they will still bring out the wives' tale about the beef being horse meat, or they'll conflate it with the yoga mat thing. You know, mm-hmm. they'll think it has yoga mats there, or say that it has kangaroo meat in it. This is impossible. Like whether it's good for you or not, of course it's not good for you. Of course it's not really even food. Of course there's like very limited nutrition in it, but it tastes delicious. It's like flavorful, and it's made to be, you know, a satisfying thing to stuff in your mouth.
And it's pound for pound the most healthy fast food franchise in the country.
Yeah, I wonder where that came from. Like, you know, like whatever they were saying was kind of like, yeah, it, you know, if
you do this, yeah,
it's like the picture of Dorian Gray. He keeps the painting in his attic to make himself young. Taco Bell keeps a salad on the menu, or they keep the Cantina Power Bowl on the menu because that makes their menu like.
Well, it's because they don't use artificial colorings, and they supposedly don't use additives and shit like that. And if you do some certain modifications, it can be healthy.
Yeah,
but you can say that about all Mexican food, not just Taco Bell.
Right. If you simply order the sauce packet and a dry tortilla, yeah.
That's like a vegan taco, like we discussed several episodes ago.
One of the other not so bad stereotypes is, and like I know a lot of people that are like this, is like the baseliners. Like when they go to Taco Bell, they have a routine meal. It's the only thing they get. They may not go very often, but it's like a little treat. And they, you know, they twiddle their thumbs, and they like tuck into the taco that they order once a month, and they're like very excited to be there. And they'll lose their minds when a Kit Kat tortilla comes out or something like that. and if you actually discuss anything else with them, they'll actually like put a finger up and slow you down and say, you know what I get is the Nachos Bel Grande.
I don't need any of the chicken dipper shit.
You talk about the chicken dippers, but you know what I get every time? I go there and I get the Nachos Bel Grande every time. It's always good. I don't know which of the last two that I have are going to fall into yours, because they're both garbage. They're both trash. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go. The first one I'll go, and they can go in either order to me, because the first one is the scoundrel food bloggers. The fucking arch villains, the people who I've hated on the internet since people started writing about food widely. You know, they will use every word imaginable to tell you how toxic and humiliating it is that they have to write an article about Taco Bell while they're writing an article about Taco Bell. And the article always has vomit, descriptions of vomit, and all the vomit that they had to like hold back or let out immediately after, you know, as soon as the guacamole touched their lips, they couldn't even hold it back.
You know, I honestly, it's a couple things. It's something that's leading in my next thing. But before that, yeah, I just think it's one of those things where if you have a blessed job, like being able to try new Taco Bell items before they even come out.
Right.
Or if you're... The first thing I noticed it in was video game reviewers, because once like podcasts started and they start switching over to doing podcasts instead of actually reviewing video games and writing, they would be like, I can't believe I got it. Like, they'd always bitch about stuff, and it's like, you literally play video games, and then all you have to do to get money is write about that for like a few paragraphs, and then you have a paycheck, and I feel like. I feel like if you realistically complain that much about food, you would not be a food writer. So right. I think it's kind of a gimmick, but at the same time, I don't think it's a correct gimmick. I don't think it should be a gimmick. I think it's kind of fucked up, honestly.
It's if you get to concentrate on something for a living, you get taken out of the flow of normal life. And where every time you sit down to a video game, if you're a normal person, you're like, oh, cool. I have 2 hours. I'm going to play a video game and I'm going to have a good time. But if it's your job, everything is a trial and everything is disgusting and everything is terrible and just life is a burden. It's very difficult that I have to play another round of Cuphead before bed to get paid today. So this is the top. This is the number one, I think. Mm-hmm. We'll see what you have to say and where you're going next.
Yeah.
Number one, and I don't think anyone can unseat this, is the irritables.
Yeah.
They will never, ever miss an opportunity to tell you how much Taco Bell makes them shit. Or how it makes them sick. and they'll tell you about their shits. They'll tell you, you know, that like they'll talk, they might still go to Taco Bell. They might still enjoy it, but they talk about like they're risking their life. Oh, I'll go with you, but I'm going to get the shits later. You know, Jesus, man.
Yeah. It, I mean, yeah, that would have to be number one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would add to that. I didn't find out until very late in life that that really happens to some people.
Yeah.
Where they do get the I always thought it was just some kind of joke, like, you know, this is not me speaking, this is the 1980s speaking, and mm-hmm. unfortunately a bunch of, I'm sure, very racist, very horrible people still say this, but it was like when we were growing up and everybody would say Chinese food had cat in it.
And, right, right.
And I was always like, that's a joke, like, you know, it was like rumored to happen or whatever, but either way, it's a joke when people say it. So I always thought the Taco Bell thing was like,
right,
oh, I got the shits because it's Mexican food. But no, people really get like that. And that is worse than saying it to me where you're still agreeing to go to Taco Bell. Like, if something like gave me the shits every single time,
yeah,
and a friend was like, we're going to go here, I'd just be like, nah, pass. I'm gonna sit this one out, I think. You know what happens to me? I don't like what happens to me. So my one,
yeah,
is kind of like the food blogger. It's kind of like an evolution of the food blogger, basically, because it's a YouTuber. And I see these videos a lot. People get millions of views making these videos. Uh-huh. And it's always, you know, it's not just Taco Bell, but the one that I saw that made me think of this is this. There's this man, it's the Try Brothers or something.
Yeah.
The Try Guys, that's what Try they're guys. Called. And I believe it's somehow a spinoff of BuzzFeed, or it's on BuzzFeed or something like that.
Yeah, everything's a network now. So.
Yeah, yeah. And they're all these very clean-cut guys, like very, you know, attractive, clean-cut guys, and they all have the YouTube cadence and the good production and shit like that. So they get millions of videos for doing mundane things. And
they have long teeth. They have the longest teeth, like horses.
Yeah, very long teeth. Yeah. Yeah, very long teeth, those types of guys. And the video that came in my recommendations was, it's called, like, I Try Every Item from Taco Bell. And in my mind, if I made a YouTube channel and I tried everything from Taco Bell, I'd be fucking pumped about it. I would just right. be like, holy, this is the fucking greatest day of my life. I get to try everything at Taco Bell. And not only do these guys act like it's a job, but yeah, again, it's just like, I can't believe I'm doing this. And it's like, then don't fucking do it, dude. Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
And it's just the way it's framed is supposed to be comedic, obviously, but it's not. The video starts and he physically goes to Taco Bell and orders these items one by one from the menu.
Yeah.
And there's people behind him, like, just fucking flipping out. Like, what the fuck, dude? I'm here to get lunch. And he's, you know, the guy is just like, they're filming it, and it's like, oh, look at these guys. They can't get their lunch because I'm ordering all these tacos.
Yeah. Normal people who wanted to eat today don't get to eat today.
Yeah. And and then just after that, it's like, dude, you could have just used the app, and you could you could have been like, hey, I'm filming for a television show. I'm going to order one of every item. Can you make this at your convenience or something like that? So it's like he's doing that for laughs. And then, yeah, it's an agonizing thing he's doing, eating all this Taco Bell. It's like, no shit, dude. And unfortunately, that is a type of entertainment now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I fucking hate it, man. I think it's kind of classist to be like, look at me. I'm this attractive, well-off man, and I'm gonna just eat all of this food because I can and bitch about it. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of, and like, look how outrageous I am because I'm eating Taco Bell. Not only am I eating Taco Bell, but I'm eating all of it. This is fucking crazy. And you know, some people, they live off that shit, man. And it's kind of fucked up to be like that. If you're gonna do something like that, you gotta be pumped about it, and you gotta be like, this is the greatest day. And I don't know, that it's just kind of a branch from the food blogger, and it's kind of shitty that entertainment has taken that form, and it kind of bugs me out that it gets so much views too.
Yeah, and you know, like those videos tend to have so many midpoints. They keep getting to a point where they go, "Oh God, I can't eat another," or "Am I really on my 40th taco today?" Like they just keep doing that same bit every time that they get to something like, "Oh, this is finally the moment where I feel like I might throw up" or something like that. Like, you know, just take a couple bites each one. If you take a couple bites of 50 things, you've had one meal. Like, I take 100 bites in a meal. That's like not a big deal or whatever.
That's why I like, do you watch Randy Santel?
No.
Randy Santel is a competitive eater.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you showed me. Yeah, yeah,
Yeah, he's not. I guess he's not a competitive eater. All he does is eat. He goes to restaurants all around the world and does their food challenge. Mm-hmm. And I believe some are just made up for the thing because some of them seem ridiculous. But and
he's a muscle man, and he's like
he is a muscle man, and he has that kind of like he figured it. He figured out the science of eating and shit like that. Mm-hmm. And he does like two of these a day. Like he'll eat like a 75 egg omelet in the morning,
right?
And then go and eat like, you know, seven racks of ribs or something. And it's no big deal to him. And he's just happy the whole time. And he's just like, this tastes delicious. I love it. If his attitude was like, oh, God, I can't believe I have to go eat 39 hot dogs at this place, no one would fucking watch him.
And this burger is 3 feet wide and I have to eat the whole thing.
It sucks, man. It sucks that people are into that kind of entertainment.
They never like the people who talk that way and the people that present that way, it's odd to me that they never feel any shame about it. They never feel any hesitation to let you know that they're, you know, struggling with this basic element of life, and they don't ever once consider that, you know, that might be a sign of weakness, dude. Like if food is hurting you, you might have something wrong with your body or your life.
Yeah, man, you're in the wrong profession, man.
You're on the wrong fucking planet. Order, boss, and friends.